Hey, DraftKings fans, football's right around the corner. You get in on the action with DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. And with the NFL returning, DraftKings is giving new customers $200 in free bets instantly when you bet $1 or more on any football game. So listen up, because you don't want to miss this.
Head to DraftKings Sportsbook app now and place a bet of $1 or more on any Week 1 game to receive $200 in free bets instantly. If Sportsbook is not yet available in your state, DraftKings still has huge cash prizes up for grabs all season long with their daily fantasy contests. And for Week 1, DraftKings is giving all new customers a free shot at a $1 million top prize. Nothing adds to the excitement of watching a game quite like having a free shot at a $1 million top prize.
So download that DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code THPN. Again, that's THPN to receive $200 in free bets when you place a $1 bet on any football game and get a free shot at a $1 million top prize with just your first deposit. How awesome is that, man? That's promo code THPM, and that's only for a limited time only at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 or older, New Jersey, Indiana, or Pennsylvania only. New customers only. Minimum $5 deposit and $1 wager required. One per customer. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in Indiana, 1-800-9-WITH-IT. And that, folks, is how you read a draft ad.
We did it.
We did it. And normally it takes us like 15 takes to do that because I try to do funny voices. No, it doesn't. That's true. I usually just cough a bunch. I just cough a bunch into stuff. But not trying to cough into this microphone all that much because we got our homie Chris Joseph. He's hanging with us, episode 131 of Bar Down Breakdown. Our homie CJ, as he's been affectionately called by one Mikey from Bar Down Breakdown, is a former ECHL player. So it's always awesome when we get to share some stories with someone that's been on the ice pounding it out. So what's going on, man? Welcome on. Thanks for being with us.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys. I appreciate it. You know, it's like we said, it's been a while for trying to get on here, so I'm glad to finally do it.
So, CJ, I see that you popped your chiclets in. I was hoping that you were going to keep them out for the interview.
Yeah, I mean, I could take them out. I don't care.
I feel like that makes you look so much more badass.
I tend to lose them when I take them out, to be honest with you. So I try to wear them as much as possible now. But, like, man, during quarantine, obviously, like, I wasn't going anywhere, so I would never wear them. And I was back at home, and at one point I was like, "Hey, mom, like, have you seen my teeth?" She was like, "What do you mean?" I was like, "I haven't seen my teeth in a solid month and a half. I don't know where they are." She was like, "How is that possible?" I was like, "I couldn't tell you."
So I have to hear the story about how it happened. I'm sure that there's a beautiful story, a majestic story that goes with it.
Yes. Well, it's actually two stories. My first one I lost was my freshman year of high school in a high school game. I got butt ended and my two teeth went up into the top of my jaw and then my jaw broke in the side. So I was actually in white shot for 8 weeks. But I got one of them taken out then. And it's actually funny because a kid that I played with in college, he's a few years older than me. He was reffing the game. And he didn't call a penalty on it, and I skated by him, and I spit blood like on the ice, like right at his feet. And then a few years later, we were at a party in college. I was like, "Hey, you remember when you were repping my high school game and I broke my jaw and you didn't call a penalty?" And he was like, "Yeah, I was hoping you wouldn't bring that up." He was like, "I felt so bad about it ever since." I was like, "Yeah, man."
High school, you're probably wearing a full cage, no?
Yeah, you're wearing a full cage, but you know. You know, when you're young, you want to like look cool, so you wear it a little loose, and it went right underneath and just caught me. And I had a mouthpiece in too. You know, the hockey league tried to say that it's because I didn't have one in, but you know, I showed them the mouthpiece. I was like, I'd wear this every game. So you know, they couldn't get too far with that. But you know, it was whatever. I was walking around toothless for about 5 years there. I had the fake one, but like I never really wore it. I wore it in high school a little bit, and then college I would never wear it. And then my second year playing pro, when I was playing for Macon and the SP, we were playing at Pensacola. And I went to go hit a guy on the boards, and he ducked. And I went face first into the dasher. And obviously, I'm wearing a halfer there. So like I get up, like the ref blew the whistle, because I was down for a few seconds. And I take my mouthpiece out, and my other tooth was just in my mouthpiece. So I was like, all right. And I was like, I guess that tooth is done now too. So like I skate to the bench and I give it to my trainer, and he puts it in the glove and he puts it on ice. And obviously, you know, like I played the rest of the game. It's whatever. But the next day I saw the specialist, and he was like, I brought it to him in the glove. And he looks at me, he's like, what do you want me to do with this? I was like, I don't know. I was like, my trainer told me to bring you my tooth. He was like, there's nothing I can do with this. He was like, there's literally nothing I can do with this. I was like, oh, sorry, I guess you can just throw it out then. So like he literally threw it out, and he's like, all right, sit in the chair. And I sat down, and like he gave me a needle, numb me up, and he was like, oh, part of your tooth is still in here, so you're gonna feel like some pressure. And he literally like yanked it out, and he showed me it, and like part of my jawbone was like impacted onto my tooth also. So they had to like he was like, yeah, it was pretty bad. I was like, yeah, I guess so, considering my tooth came out. I would think it's pretty bad. And the way it works, like if you want to get fake teeth, like for that situation, they actually have to inject like graphite into there, because it like heals around the bone and gives you like another area where they can put like the screw in eventually.
Okay.
So he opened up the other side too, and then he injected graphite into both of them, and then stitched me up. And I didn't have a car down there, so I was like, hey, can I go back to practice and play now? He's like, yeah, I mean, you can, but it's not like ideal. So I was like, all right, yeah, no problem. And I went and I caught an Uber, because I didn't have my car down there. I Ubered back to the rink, and I walk in, and like I just started getting dressed. I got on for like the last 15 minutes, and I got hit in the face. Literally got hit in the face, like right in the mouth. Like, man, it was like such a nightmare. I was like, my trainer's like, I told you not to go out there. I was like, listen, I just want to be out there with the boys. Like, I needed to be out there. He was like, well, you got to go see the dentist again now. I was like, all right. And I went back, and he was like, yeah, he was like, you didn't do any damage to it, thankfully. He's like, just be smart. He's like, stop being an idiot. So I had to wear a cage. I had to wear a bird cage for, I think, like, it's like 2 weeks after that. But, you know, that's it. After that, it was just getting used to eating apples with no front teeth. Getting used to eating corn with no front teeth. It was such a nightmare. It still is. I hate it still.
I've broken like this might be like easier, eight right? times. You could just like yank down and just like pull, like put it on your front teeth and pull out.
No? I mean, honestly, I've never tried it. I won't lie. I've never tried that. But like, I'll go to like bite to an apple, and just like the whole middle piece will be like still there. And I'm like, it takes me like twice as long to eat an apple now. You know what I mean? So it's so annoying.
That's gotta but be it's, like it's the. What I, that's gotta be the weirdest looking bite marks like you've ever seen. Like, just like two rips, and it's almost like a spider bite or some shit, dude. That's gnarly. But it just like it goes to show, like your mentality, you know, is like every hockey player that like you see in the NHL. Like that's just it, man. It's just like, I don't give a shit what happened to me. Like I got to be out there, and I think it's hard for a lot of us, like you know, Mikey's played like, you know, a little bit on a pond and stuff, but like, I've never actually played hockey, and, you know, we're both hockey fans that, you know, very occasionally we'll have, you know, like a thought about someone who we think is, you know, skating off the ice when they shouldn't and all this shit. And it's like, what do we know? Like we've never even done any of that shit. And we're sitting here like, oh, I don't know. I think he's totally fine. That's just a little bit of blood. That's not a lot of blood. And it's just like, bro, this guy literally just like smashed his whole jaw into pieces, and we're sitting here like, oh, pussy. So just goes to show you what we know, but that's not nothing. No, it's true. We know nothing.
Honestly, you know, hockey players, I don't really bash on other sports, because I think like each sport has their own skill set, but I think like hockey players, it's just like, it's a different kind of toughness. You know what I mean? Like you look for a reason to play. You know what I mean? Like we'll pretend we're not hurt so we can play. Like that second year when I was in Macon, we wound up winning it all. And I broke my nose twice that year. And like, I just taken my cage off before the finals. And literally the first game of the finals, I got high sticked and broke my nose again. And like, jeez. I was like bleeding everywhere on the ice. And I get off the ice, I go to the bench, and our trainer, he was like, all right. He's like, Joey, like, we're putting your cage back on. I was like, I'm not putting my cage back on. I was like, no shot. I was like, I'm not doing it. He was like, you're bleeding everywhere. Like, you get hit in the nose again. Like, you're going to be in pain. I was like, I don't care. You know what I mean? And like, I went out the next shift, and like, I had like the gauze up my nose. Like, I would take it out and switch it after every shift because it wouldn't stop bleeding. And then like, I would still go out there. I was still like blocking shots, you know what I mean? Like, throwing the body around. Like, I was still asking guys to fight. Like, it didn't matter. You know, like, your adrenaline's going there. Like, you're just ready to be out there and play. You know what I mean? You don't want to be letting the boys down. And I think that's like a lot of other sports are missing at times, to be honest with you.
So you mentioned that championship that you won, but does that even come close to the championship game for Team North Korea?
Did I even play in that game? I think I was suspended.
You were suspended, and that's probably why we lost, honestly.
Listen, I loved playing there, but that was like, I remember the first, I got suspended twice that year. Once I got suspended wearing Kenny's jersey, like when I first started playing with you guys. And then the next time I got suspended, like when I was actually on the team. And that was like at the rinks. The first one was at Dix Hills. And I remember we had the finals or playoffs coming up, and I felt so bad because I was like, damn, like they like wanted me to really play in the finals and like help them win. And like, now I can't even go because like I'm literally suspended for 3 games. They're like, this is a nightmare.
Yeah, dude.
I think there was a lot more pressure there though with you guys for sure. I had a lot more pressure for you guys because I actually had to score goals.
Yeah, because I sure as hell wasn't scoring any damn goals. But honestly, dude, when I think back to that time of playing on Team North Korea, that's really when the idea of like doing some kind of podcast talking about music and alternative music and hockey came to me. And 131 episodes later, we're still kicking, and there's still so many guests that we need to get to. It's just unbelievable, the crossover.
Yeah, man, it's unreal. Like, you guys have been doing this for a while now, too, you know, and I think you see that. I was talking to someone about this the other day, how, like, the music scene, it's kind of like the hockey world, in a sense that, like, it's large, but it's small. Someone always knows someone in a certain way where like they're connected, you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
And like, I feel like a lot of hockey players, or I should say a lot of bands like love hockey. You know what I mean? Like it's different, and you know, they put on a lot of merch, you know, through like, I know E-Tid did a lot of it through like Violent Gentlemen, you know, like other bands, like they do stuff like their own through like, cause they love hockey, you know, and they put out stuff like regarding like their favorite team and stuff like that. Like, actually, the other day I was where I went to that Dropkick Murphy show. Somebody had a Dropkick Murphy's hockey jersey, but it was blue and white, like the Chiefs jersey from Slapshot, and it just said Dropkick on it. And it said Dropkick on it, and the back, I'm pretty sure, had the year that they started as a band, and the nameplate said Murphy's. Like, it was awesome. Like, I was like, that's awesome. I would pay money to have that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's like with the Dropkick Murphys, it's so funny, right? Because like, you know, they're from Boston, so like, you figure like they've all got to be like big Bruins fans, but like the Dropkick Murphys are so often associated with like that strong Irish culture that you think like they would just have like an entire line of like soccer jerseys, but like, you know, it's just like, it's kind of like a crazy little like crossover in there, and in that just like Boston is always associated with being, you know, a sports town, but like a big hockey town. And, you know, like, I never knew the Murphys did any crossover merch for hockey. So that's dope. I love that. And,
go ahead.
Oh no, I was just going to say, but I love those crossovers, like everything Violent Gentlemen does. And, you know, some, you know, bands that go out of their way to make their own like little designs that are, you know, like just a hair away from copyright infringement, you know, from like the actual logos, but it's dope, man. I love it.
Yeah, it's awesome. You know, I was literally on the train coming back from the show, and we were at a stop, and I saw somebody standing on the platform with it, and I was like contemplating if I should literally get off at that stop to like ask them how much they wanted for the jersey. Sounds like that's awesome. Like I would love to have that. You know, but those are probably something that they sold like a certain amount of them, and then they were like done with it. So it was like probably like a special thing, which I think is really cool too when bands do stuff like that, because it's like you can be like one of like 50 that get that, and it's awesome. It's worth to spend the money for stuff like that. I mean, I think so anyway.
Oh yeah, and you gotta, you know, just tip your hat to Violent Gentlemen, because they always, like, for the jersey crossovers, because they just released like an Every Time I Die one, and it is so sick. And I have the Pure Noise Records one, which is also beautiful. The Violent Gentlemen Pure Noise Records crossover, lovely. So CJ, I know your history, but for our listeners, let's dive into it a little bit. So first of all, you know, playing high school hockey on Long Island, it's like, yes, there's NHL players that have come from Long Island, but a lot of them leave Long Island to like play prep school or whatever it may be. So like when you were playing the high school like circuit, what was that like? Because a lot of, first of all, teams on Long Island don't even have, like, high schools don't even have their own team.
Seriously.
Yeah. So, I mean, you have, like, the Catholic League schools, you know, like St. Anthony, Chabot, they have their teams. You know, I think Belmore America, it's the two school districts combined, which, you know, a lot of school districts do. They just combine school districts, and then you get kids from, you know, when I was playing, it was, like, kids from Levittown and kids from East Meadow on one team. I mean, to be honest with you, it was an absolute gong show. Like Long Island high school hockey it's better now, but like it was pretty brutal. It just, if you played travel hockey, you were like a standout player, but like other than that, it just wasn't really good hockey. And it's better now because the hockey on Long Island's grown and it's gotten better. But it's still nowhere near like if you were to go out to like Minnesota, you know, like, or any of the Midwest places, you know, like those kids are like draft picks, you know, here it's basically something you just do for fun in a sense, you know, like, I mean, you get kids that just play that and play travel, but then like travel players will play that for fun, but it's nowhere near competitive enough for like if you want to like go play somewhere for like to show a scout like your stats from there, they're gonna be like, what is this, you know what I mean? They're gonna be like, this is I don't care about this, you know what I mean? Like I want to see like your travel stats, you know, if you like I said, if you were like Minnesota playing in like a top high school league there, they'd be like, okay, wow, like I want to look at this, but like here it's like it's nothing, you know what I mean?
So did you considered you in the prep school route, or you always were like, I'll do travel hockey and then just stay and play for my local team?
So I was looking at prep schools. I was looking at Albany Academy and then Hebron, which was up in Maine. I was looking at both of them, and it was one of those things where Albany Academy wasn't too good at the time. I obviously don't know how they are anymore since I've paid attention to that in years. And Hebron was good. You know, they were like a middle of the pack team. It was, you know, one of those things where do I go there and play on a middle of the pack team and do well, or do I stay here and play in a better travel team and, you know, see what happens, see what I can get out of this. You know, because at that time, there wasn't too many players from Long Island who were you know, I guess making it to the pro level or to the, you know, the D1 level at that time. We did have a handful. We had a handful, but it wasn't like prominent like it is now. Mm-hmm. So I just took a chance. You know, I was like, you know what, I'll stay here. I'm gonna be on a good team here. I'd rather stay here and know what I have than go somewhere else and play on a middle of the pack team, and if I don't like it, I'm kinda out of luck. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But I honestly don't regret it. A lot of some of my best friends playing on those teams that I still talk to today. It led me to the path that I took. You know, I know a bunch of guys that they go and play in at these prep schools, and they hated it. And then they wound up quitting hockey. So I'm glad I didn't take that route, to be honest with you.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you're probably about the same age as Charlie McAvoy, right?
No, he is, what is he, a 97, I think?
I think he's
a 96 or a 97. Yeah, he might even be a 90. No, I don't think he's a 98, but I'm a 91. So, you know, there's a 5-6 year gap between us, but I never played with him. But he's been to like he used to play in my men's league here in Long Beach. And like everyone in this league, like we all know each other. So like a bunch of us like played pro, played together in college, or like grew up playing together. So it's like a competitive league, but like we all know each other. So like we want to have fun out there. And he would always just be like, he'd always be at the rink, like hanging out with us. You know what I mean? Just like shooting the shit, just having a good time with us. He was never like that type of kid where you were like, all right, you're kind of too cocky. You know what I mean? Like he is the most down to earth kid. He was the most down to earth kid I think I've ever spoken to when it came to stuff like that. Like you would never know that he was at BU at the time, like going to play in the NHL, or he'd be a stud in the show. You know what I mean? Like you were just like, this is just a normal kid, which was great. You know, it was great to see that.
Yeah, and honestly, that's pretty much how all hockey players are. They're just the easiest to talk to of all sports. So after your high school career, you went to Stony Brook, right?
Yeah, well, I mean, in between, I played juniors. I played 3 years juniors. Played for Abacore for 2 years. And then I played for the Rockets for 1 year in the AJ. I had an offer to go to Peterborough in the OHL. But my dad didn't want me to go. He was like, you need to go to college. Like, you're not the smartest kid. So he was like, you need college. So I was like, all right, that's fine. I get it. I understand. You know, like I was 16 turning 17. Like it was tough. It's tough pill to swallow. Cause I could have been like one of my first buddies to do that. But
yeah,
like I said, in hindsight's 2020, like I don't regret it all, but you know, I wound up going to Stony Brook after that. Like I was talking to Niagara at the time. Southern New Hampshire, like with a D, I think they were technically D2, but they played D3 schedule. But like Niagara is D1. I was talking to them, but you know, a bunch of my buddies that I played juniors with wound up at Stony Brook. So like, hey, come here. Like, it's a good school academically, and you'll have a ton of fun. And like, it's good hockey. So like, I went there, and I stayed there for 3.5 years. My first year there, I only played like 6 games because I broke my hand. So I transferred in January, played 6 games, and then I was done. The next year, we made it to the Nationals the next year. We lost in, I think it was like the Sweet 16 to Adrian. My junior year, I actually made the USA team that year where I went to Italy. So I was in Italy for 2.5 weeks, came back. We lost in the Final Four to ASU, actually. We lost to ASU in the Final Four.
And then my senior D1. Year.
Yeah, they are. And then my senior year actually was the year before they went D1. We beat them in the Final Four that year, and they had a handful of D1 transfers on that team. And then we lost the national championship that year. But it was, you know, it was great. You know, I tell, like, when I was still playing, like, my buddies would always, like, ask me, like, where I played, and I'd be like, man, I played at Stony Brook, and they'd be like, what is that, like, D3? And I'd be like, no, like, it's club D1, and they'd be like, shut the fuck up. They'd be like, there's no way you played club hockey. I'd be like, man, yeah, I'd be like, listen, I'm telling you, like, it's way better hockey than people think, you know? And, like, I had some buddies that my last year playing in Jacksonville, one of them played at Princeton, the other one played at Union, won a natty title over at Union. And he was like, man, like, you're better than defensemen we had on our team when we won a natty championship. I was like, yeah, man. I was like, listen, that's just the way it goes. Like, those kids got the breaks, and they got looked at, and they went D1. Like, I didn't catch those breaks at a certain point. Like, I'm not mad about it. Like, listen, I'm still here. I still got to play pro. So, like, I just took a longer road to it. That's it.
Now, at the time, there wasn't a D1 team on Long Island, but there is now, which I'm sure is going to change the landscape of college hockey on Long Island. And you're going to get some of those homegrown kids staying and playing with them, which is only going to mean, you know, more future Islander and Ranger fans playing in the show.
I mean, honestly, yeah, I think it's great. You know, like we were saying before, back when I was younger, it wasn't too prominent for a lot of guys from Long Island to be going D1, but it's kind of a hotbed now. The younger kids are really good. You know, it's just unfortunate because they get to a certain age here and they look to move off Long Island because at a certain point you can only go so far here. So, you know, you get to a certain point where those kids look to leave, you know, they look to go to prep school or they look to go play 16U or 18U somewhere else, you know, or, you know, obviously the end goal is to try to go to the USHL, like the best junior league in the country. You know, everyone always wants to be there. So it's more prominent for those kids to be there, which is huge. And I think the growth of hockey on Long Island is, you know, it's up by a solid, I would say at least like 200%, you know, from when I was younger. Like just there's so many more teams now, more kids playing, and it's great. You know, and in the end, I think it's going to be huge for a school like LIU to be able to find a few diamonds from kids from around here. You know, and I think it's great for Long Island hockey in general because, I mean, listen, when you're growing up, you're playing, like, you want to play D1 hockey. You know, you always see, like, the big schools. Like, when I was younger, I always wanted to go to Maine. Like, Paul Correa is my favorite player growing up, mm-hmm. and I always wanted to go to Maine. I wanted to be a black belt. Like, that's where I wanted to play. You know, like, I went and visited their school once on a visit, and I was mm-hmm. like, I love it. I want to go here. Yeah. But I think now you're going to see more kids that are going to be like, no, definitely not. But I think you're going to see more kids now are going to be like, I want to, you know, like their favorite school might become LIU. And their goal is going to be like, hey, I want to play D1 hockey on Long Island. You know, like, I want to be that kid. And it's huge. I think it's huge for the game of hockey here and just that school in general.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I think it's great that, you know, it's giving an opportunity to kind of, you know, shine the spotlight on, you know, something that's, you know, a little, you know, that is starting to gain a little bit of traction on the island, you know, but that's, like I said, to kind of echo your sentiment is only going to just broaden it, which is an awesome thing. So I have a question. And since you're, you know, we're in the locker rooms, why do so many hockey players just listen to like the worst Canadian techno and like Canadian country music? Like, can you fix that, man? What's going on?
I won't lie. We didn't really, any of the teams I played on, we didn't really have that. And we had like some like Western Canadian boys on every team I played on, which by the way, I don't know what they feed them there, but every Western Canadian kid I ever played with was like 6'2", 6'3", 6'4", and like 220. Like it's wild. You know, I think the smallest guy I played with from there was like my captain of Jacksonville, this guy Huntsy, who actually just set the record, I think 2 years ago for like most PIMs in the coast all time. Like, and he is like, oh, I think he's like 5'9", and he would just go with anyone. Like, do you remember Trevor Gillies that played with the Islanders? Like, he fought him a handful of times, like in the coast and everything. Like, he was always going, like, it didn't matter who, like, man, my first game when I got called up with Jax, that guy, it was his first game back from injury. We were playing Norfolk, and I'll never forget this. He skates out. He does a hard lap around, like around our net, and he skates over the red line and runs their goalie over. Like, just absolutely runs them over, like something out of Slapshot. And I'm just getting on the ice. I'm like, what the hell just happened? I was like, is this real life right now? And he was just waiting there. He was, like, so amped up, like ready for someone to come fight him. And they all just like their team didn't even know what to do. Like they were just like, what the hell just happened here? Like, is this real life right now? Like the refs weren't out there yet. Like I was like, this is about to be an absolute line brawl. Like it's going to be a 20-on-20 brawl right now. Like this is going to make the news. I'm going to be on ESPN. Like this is going to be sick. And then like no one did anything. Like even guys on our team were just like there were some guys that were like hyped about it. But other guys like, what is happening right now? Yeah. You know what I mean? Like this is real life, but like, His big thing actually, so with that team, he loved Cardi B. So like we just blasted Cardi B in the locker. Like that was like our music in there. It was no nothing like that. Yeah. He was like, nah, we're not listening to that. He like took control. He's like, we're going Cardi B, boys. Like we're getting hyped for this. So I was like, all right, let's do it.
It's just so crazy. Like every like opportunity we've ever had in this podcast to like get a little bit of insight into that, like everybody is like, it's It's so wild. But I guess really what it comes down to is, you know, we've talked about it a couple times before, even with some of our like Canadian guests that we've had on. And it's just like such a different, like just overall ethos in Canada. Like when it comes to hockey, like Canada and hockey, like that's like what the NFL is here is what, yeah. what this guy was telling us. He's like, you know, it's the number one thing in Canada. So like when you think of like meathead, you know, like NFL bros, like Canada has like meathead NHL bros. So yeah, of course they're going to listen to like techno and like, you know, terrible R&B. But the other side of it is like, because Canada is like still not as developed as America. Like when you get out into like the sticks of Canada, like Western Canada or like, you know, up there, like by, you know, the fucking lakes and all that shit. Like you're just getting like country bumpkins. So yeah, they listen to like weird Canadian country because like, that's all they know. They just live in like vast amounts of trees. Like, that's just what they're doing. So it's so funny to me, like to think about that.
Yeah, I do have to say though, what, like we did do a lot of country music on all my teams. It was always a lot of country music, but it was never techno. Literally, like I was lucky enough. Like, listen, I honestly didn't care. You know what I mean? Like, whatever the boys wanted to listen to, they could listen to. Like, it didn't matter to me. I could phase it out if I didn't like it.
Yeah,
but like
yeah,
we never had techno on there, which was good, I guess, because I guess I didn't have to hear about it. But the country music, there were some guys that would just blast country music before games, and like our coach would come in and be like, "What are you boys listening to? Like, how does this get you like excited?"
Yeah, play? I was just gonna say, how does that get you pumped? Like Garth Brooks, like how does that get you pumped for anything?
I mean, I think for a lot of guys too, like it's different mindsets, you know what I mean? Like certain guys listen to like the heavier stuff because like it gets them going. But then there are certain guys that like they like to keep it loose. You know what I mean? Like they don't think too much about it. They're just that, you know, they're there to play hockey. They're there because they want to be there. So like they don't want to overthink it. They just want to go out there and play. You know, and I think so. Like for them, it's like they can listen to whatever just to kind of keep them loose, and they're still ready to go. You know, like for me, it didn't really matter. Like on the bus, I would listen to certain music, but then like once I got off the bus, it was just like, all right, whatever the boys want to listen to in the locker room, I'm cool with it, let's go. You know, like I never had my headphones on in the locker room because like I kind of wanted to be aware of like my surroundings and like be able to talk to the boys. You know, like I wasn't one of those guys who like put my headphones on and it was like, hey, don't talk to me. It was like I love shooting the shit with all the boys, you know, like having a cup of coffee, like warming up, like following that stuff and just doing that stuff like consistently. It was like the best. Like that's how I would get into it, like talking to the boys about like, you know, anything, whatever, like we'd be watching TV, like if there was a game on, highlights on, you know, like talking about like, you know, the game in general, like what we wanted to do, just stuff like that, you know, like I loved doing that. But there were certain guys who were just headphones on, don't talk to me, you know. And I'm just like, hey, all right, do you, man, that's you.
Exactly.
So I do want to just kind of dive in because it's a few years like since you played professional hockey. So have you followed any of the boys that you've played with, like whether against or on your team? You know, have any of them risen to like the AHL or even the NHL?
Yeah, actually. So my last year in Jacksonville, our affiliate at the time was Winnipeg. Now it's actually the Rangers now. They're affiliated with the Rangers now, but our affiliate then was Winnipeg. And we had a draft pick. I think he was a second round draft pick. This kid, Jansen, what was his last name? I want to say Harkins. I think it was Harkins, who actually played for Winnipeg the last 2 years. He cracked their lineup, and he's been like a steady, I think, like third, fourth guy for them. And he was like the nicest kid ever. Like, he was like, we'd like go out to lunch and he'd be like, obviously on an NHL contract. He'd be like, all right, boys, I got it. Don't worry about it. We'd be like, man, like we make money too. You don't have to like treat us like we don't make money here. He was like, nah, I got it. Don't worry about it. But like the quietest kid, you know, I mean, like you would never think he was like a dirty hockey player. He wasn't. Like, he had so much skill. But I'll never forget, we were playing in Orlando and their goalie came out to play the puck and he skated by him and slew footed him and just started a brawl. When I was out on the ice, then I was like, oh my God, man, like this is wild. I was like, I would never expect this kid to do it. I skated by the goalie. He legitimately two-hand hacked me across my stomach. And like, I was like, what is going on here? I was like, is this a slap shot right now? Like, this is real life. And like afterwards, he was like, oh, Joey, sorry about that. I said, I think the boy's going. I was like, yeah, man, that's cool. I think I'm bleeding internally now because the boy is slashing. But whatever, man, you got the boys going. It's all right.
Oh, man.
But yeah, that's great. He made it, which is great to see. I don't think any, you know, a few of my buddies I play with, like my roommates, like some of my best friends, they moved over to Europe. They're playing to Europe now. Two of them actually playing the same team in England. I think it's Manchester they're playing on. So like, it's awesome. Like a lot of the boys are still playing, which is great. You know, like I wanted to keep playing, but you know, I had two shoulder surgeries, and after that second one, it was like, you know, do I want to keep doing this? It was like, yeah, I do, but can my body handle it? You know,
exactly. Like, yeah,
I don't know how much my body can handle it. Like I want to be able to like live a long life and be able to like walk when I'm 65, and I have to be in a wheelchair because like. Mm-hmm. My knees are blown out from cortisone shots, or like my shoulders are in shambles from having four surgeries on them. You know what I mean? So it gets to a certain point where like I didn't retire on my own terms, which is what was hard to kind of like acknowledge at first. You know, like you want to go out on your own, but you know, it took me a while to kind of realize it. And then I kind of soaked it up and I was like, all right, you know, like, unfortunately, this isn't how I wanted it to end, but this is how it has to end because I need to be able to take that next step. So, you know, it's nothing that I regret, like I said, but I just needed to kind of look out my own well-being to make sure I can actually have a future where I'm not in shambles.
Yeah. And, you know, we just were talking about it last week, you know, Lundqvist retiring and coming out and announcing his retirement. You know, unfortunately, even guys that are warriors and have storied long careers, they don't always get to go out on their terms. And unfortunately, that's kind of the way the game is. You want that, like, oh, my last game, I'm going to hoist the Stanley Cup and go out and and live the rest of my days as a champion. But it doesn't always play out that way.
Yeah, it's unfortunate, especially in the minors, you know, because you're a commodity, you know, you're a piece of meat to them. So like, you'll do whatever you have to do to stay in the lineup. You know, like my last year playing in Jacks, we were playing the Everblades, who were the best team in the league, and we played them I think 14 times that year. We only beat them once. You know, like they were unreal, and we were playing out that rink, and they were playing. It was a 5-on-3 in the second period, and I went down. This guy walked off the half wall, and he ripped the clapper, and I went down and blocked it. And, like, it caught me right in the side of my knee, like, right where there's no padding. And, like, I couldn't bend my knee. I was in so much pain, but, like, I played the rest of the game. And after the game, like, I just iced up. You know, didn't think anything of it. I got, like, a compression sleeve and put it over it. And I woke up the next morning at, like, 7:30. And just excruciating pain because I rolled over onto my knee and it was like the size of a softball. So like I texted my trainer and I was like, hey Dylan, like I gotta come in, you gotta see my knee. He's like, all right, yeah, no problem. And I walk in and I'm like legitimately limping. He's like, why are you limping? I was like, look at my knee. And I showed it to him. He was like, yeah, we gotta go see the doctor. And I was like, yeah, and like, let's go. So I had to get like an MRI on it. They'd like put me through testing. And I was like, listen, like I'm not missing any game. So just give me a cortisone shot. He was like, your knee joint, like you might like have a fracture in your knee joint here. Like this could be bad. And I was like, listen, I get it. Like drain my knee. Give me a cortisone shot. Like I can't miss games. Like I can't be in and out of the lineup here. Like I just solidified my spot. Like I'm doing what I got to do to play. You know what I mean? And he was like, yeah, we're not doing that. Like he was like, I know you want to do it. But like he was like, I got morals here too. Like I have the like, code of ethics. So
yeah.
I was like,
yep.
All right, Doc. I was like, listen, I get it, but like, I'm still gonna try to play. You know, like I tried playing. Like, I got that. We had that next day off. It was like we had that Sunday off, and then we skated again on Monday. And I tried skating, and like, I was just like in so much pain. Like, I couldn't move out there. And my coach was like, Joey, like, are you good? I was like, no, like my knee's in shambles, but like, I'm not gonna take the risk of not playing. Like, I need to be in the lineup. You know what I mean? And he was like, he's like, stop being an idiot. He's like, get off the ice. He was like, you're fucking stupid. You know what I mean? Like, guy played 12 years in the show. He played 12 years or 10 or 12 years in the show. He was like, stop overthinking it, you know? And I was like, I get it. But like, I just want to be out there. I want to be playing with the boys and battling, you know? And I wound up missing like a week or so. And then like, I was lucky enough to get back into the lineup. For some guys, that doesn't happen. Some guys you get hurt. And like, if you're a bubble guy, when you come back, they just release you. They'll keep you there to your heel. Then they're like, all right, see ya. You know, I saw it once, you know, 20 or 30 times throughout 3 years of playing. It sucks. But that's just the nature of the beast in the minors.
Yeah, and not even that. It's not always the most glamorous, too, when you're, you know, traveling around from team to team. And, you know, obviously the NHL guys are flying on these private jets. You guys are bussing it. And at least where you were in Jacksonville, there were a few, like, southern teams, like, especially in Florida. So maybe your drive wasn't as bad as maybe some of the, you know, northern coast teams.
Yeah, so when I was in Jacks, obviously we had the Everblades, we were down in Fort Myers. I think that was like 8 hours, I want to say, 6 to 8 hours. But like, we had a sleeper bus, so like, you had a bunk. You know, then we had Orlando, which is only a few hours away, SoCo, which is South Carolina, you know, Norfolk was in our division, like I said. And then we actually had a bus that year. Actually, the week that I'd hurt my knee, they were going up to play. Who were they playing that weekend? I think it was Manchester. I think they were going to play Manchester, and they bussed up there, and it was like a 26-hour bus trip. So that's lucky. I didn't have to do that. my second year, we were in Macon. Obviously, that's Georgia for the people who don't know. The finals, we played Peoria, which is Illinois. So like, we had the bus there. It was a 19-hour bus trip. We played them on a Friday. We beat them in the first game, and then the next game was Sunday at like 4 o'clock. So by the time we got home, it was actually like Saturday, like night. Like, it was literally like a full day of traveling. So like, we got home like Saturday night, like got home, unpacked, went home, slept, woke up the next day, had a morning skate, and then played. That was it. Like, it was like, it was, the turnover was like wild, because you were like, I'm literally just getting off the bus. And I get to sleep for 6 hours, and I got to play a game again, like in the finals. You know what I mean? But like, and you get some teams that like, they'll fly. Like, our owner was gonna fly us there, but the league actually said no. They were like, no, like you got to bus it, because Peoria doesn't want to. They don't want to fly their guys down. So he was like, so my team has to suffer.
Yeah,
yeah.
I'm not sure if it was the Southern Pacific, what's it called, the Southern Coast or Southern Pacific Coast League, or
the SP, so it's called the Southern Professional Hockey League.
Oh, okay. So is that the one where like one of the teams won the championship and just won't turn over the trophy, or is that the ECHL?
Oh, I think that was the Coast, actually. I'm pretty sure that was
won't turn over the trophy.
I think it was Colorado. I think Colorado won it back-to-back years. Don't quote me on that, but then they moved up to the A. So I think they just kept the trophy. They were like, yeah, we're not in your league anymore, so who cares? And just like, kept it, which is like I don't know. Like, I think that's, like, hilarious to do that. You know what I mean? Like, I would do the same thing. I'd be like, no, it's ours now. See ya. What are you going to do, find me? I'm not in your league anymore. Like,
could you imagine the story that would create if, like, an NHL team did that? Just, like, the Lightning like don't win this year, and they're just like, no, like you can't have it. And they're just like, what do you mean? Like, this is the fucking Stanley Cup. And they're like, nah, you just can't. Like, Victor Hedman is like, you got to take it from him. And they're just like, what the fuck do we do here? I just like everything in my head like plays out just like a professional wrestling storyline. So it works, you know, like, that would totally work in that context. So I just got one last question for you myself, but just to kind of touch on like some music stuff here. So I know that, you know, you're big into alternative music. Obviously, that's, you know, that's why we got you on. Now, I'd say maybe the past year, you know, it's only been what? Yeah, it's been about 9 months, right? Is there anything you've been listening to that came out this year that's just like you're killing it on?
I've been really like, so like, I go through like phases where like I listen to everything except like Canadian techno, like we were saying before, but like I literally listen to everything. Like, I'll listen. I love country music, like in the summer, you know, especially like being here in Long Beach, like you want to be on the beach, just like, or on the boat, like listening to like country, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But like lately I've been like on a huge, like pop punk, like kick, you know what mm-hmm. I mean? Like that's like all I've been listening to. So like I started listening to that band Waster. I think that's how you say it. Like,
Yep.
And I love them.
On No Sleep, I think they're on. Yeah, they're good.
I've like been all about them. I don't know when their last album came out though. I think it might have been 2020.
That's the one that has like no vowels in it, right?
Yeah, W-S-T-R.
Yeah. That's them. And then the new Grayscale. I don't know if you guys listen to Grayscale. Their album just came out the other day, and I've been listening to it nonstop. Like it's my favorite album. I think of 2021, it's going to be my favorite album of 2022 already. Like, unless E-Tid comes out with a new album, then it's like my favorite album.
Yeah, E-Tid's actually got.
Yeah, I think they are coming out.
October, it's coming out, man, and they've already released a couple. Yeah, dude, if you get a chance, they just put out a video for this new song called "Post Boredom." Oh, it rips, dude! It's so good. But that Grayscale,
I've always loved them.
Oh, Every Time I Die has been one of my favorite bands ever since Last Night in Town. You know, Bidding Plot Burial War, like all that kind of stuff.
Oh yeah.
Or Burial Plot Bidding War. I just realized I messed those up. I swapped them. But but yeah, no. Every Time I Die is sick, man. And but Grayscale, dude, that opening track, man, with sax solo in it. I'm like, what am I listening to?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Kenny G meets sweet pop punk. I love it. So good.
It's so good.
So good that like they're falling prey to the whole like our album comes out in August, but like our vinyl is going to come out in March of next year thing, which is like happening to every band. And even knowing that, I love that record so much that I still bought it. Don't tell them
they posted a they actually posted I think it might be on their Instagram story or it was a post today. Like it's been out for like less than a week, I think, right?
Yeah,
and they have like over a million. Yeah, it's like over a million streams already, which is
wild. How insane is that? That's just insane, man. They like we kind of like we're saying it with how good what was the last record called? I forgot.
Nella Vita,
yeah. With how good that record was, it was like, oh, it's only a matter of time before these guys like explode and become like the next, you know, One Republic or like 5 Seconds of Summer, one of those crazy bands. But I mean, they got the talent. They're writing these just unbelievable songs that like are at home with like pop punk fans just as much as they'd be like at home with like Taylor Swift fans. Like it's just like that kind of music that has that much reach and still like ticks all the alternative boxes is like, man, that's a home run. Like you guys are going to make money. So we're hoping they do.
Oh yeah.
Cause they're great, man. They're awesome. But
shout out Vaughn. We'll have Vaughn on soon.
Vaughn Lyon-Ton. but another record that just came out that I've been jamming, which is just like kind of such a strange departure. So there's a band called Def Heaven, right? And Def Heaven was like this. Their last record that they put out was like Explosions in the Sky meets black metal. Like when I tell you like the songs were like 11 minutes long and all the guy did was like scream and like just do these weird black metal screams behind like all this beautiful music. Well, they pull a 180 and they put out this record that's just like a pop shoegaze record, and it is so good, like unbelievably good. It's kind of like the only way I can explain it is like what Turnover did, but like times 100, because instead of just going from a pop punk band to like a kind of shoegazy band, they went from like a black metal band to like a shoegazy band. So, man, I don't know. But if anyone is out there that wants to hear some unbelievable music, it's called Infinite Granite by Def Heaven, and it rules.
And
I try to go ahead.
Well, I was just going to change it up and throw in my final question because we got it in the chat, actually. And Pete Judge 9 wants to know, who is the best player you played on Long Island other than Betito or Betito?
Betito. So Betito, I played with him growing up. Yeah. He played for the Rangers this year. I played with him growing up. I don't know, to be honest with you. Like, a bunch of my buddies I played with, like I still talk to today, like my buddy Kevin Gumis that lives in Long Beach here, played in the A for a bit. He was up to the Hobie when he was at UNH. He was like, that kid was unreal. My buddy Justin Augusta, I played with him. He went to UNH, and then Quinnipiac also. You know, I played against him in the Coast, and then he played in the A for a bit too. Like all these guys, like I grew up with, that like made it to that next level. So like I'd say probably one of those two. Probably Gumis by far, because like him and I always just got along. You know what I mean? Now I think, man, I don't know who it would be now, to be honest with you. I guess if you consider men's league now, because it's in men's league, like I still play with like Potato. He's like on our men's league team. Like just seeing him do stuff now, like it's crazy too. Like that, the hockey IQ between like a guy playing in the minors and a guy who just plays like in the NHL, like it's just different. Everything just clicks so much quicker, and you're like, wow, you know what I mean? Like you're just in awe of watching some of these guys, and like I'm sure when he watches guys like Panarin, like Zibanejad, and you like guys like Foxy, like he'll watch them and probably be like, oh my god, you know what I mean? Like it just happens so quick for some of those guys too. But yeah, I'd probably say like Kevin Gumis was probably like the best player I played with from Long Island that like made it that far.
Shout out Pete Judge Records.
What the hell is that?
It's Pete Judge Records. You can ask him yourself. It's Pete Judge Records. I have a shirt that says Pete Judge Records. It's got like a sandwich on it. It's a great shirt. Shout out Pete Judge Records. So we had a little Pete Judge dropped in on us, which is cool. But CJ, man, thank you so much for being on with us, man. We appreciate you spending the time to, you know, talk to us and give us some insight, man. Cause it's so cool to hear from someone who's like actually like made it pro, and just to hear like the passion that you have for this sport that like we as fans feel like we have that like a similar passion in like watching it and enjoying it. And you have that same passion like playing it. And it just, it comes full circle, man. It just makes me feel good. You know, it's just like, you know, all of the anguish that we go through as hockey fans, especially as Islander fans, right? Because that's all that happens is anguish after anguish after anguish. But you know, like, but I'm sure like in your situation, like, you know, all the times that, you know, you wanted to get out there and play, but you couldn't because like your knee was smashed to bits, or like, you know, you saw someone on the same bench as you, like, you know, get an opportunity and get called up, and you didn't get that same opportunity. Like, I'm sure like all that pleasure of being out there and all that pain of like, you know, what could have been is like, it's sharp. So, you know, I appreciate you kind of coming on and chatting about it with us. Cause it's cool to see that perspective, man. So we really appreciate that for sure.
Yeah. Anytime, you know, I love, you know, talking to people about like my time being played there. I was lucky, you know, like even just playing in the minors, like I was lucky enough to do it. You know, at the time, coming from playing club hockey, it didn't happen a lot. You know, like it's a little more prominent now, but it didn't happen a lot. So like kind of get that jump to be like one of the first few to actually be recognized to do it was great, you know. And, you know, a lot of it stems too from like people around me, you know, like people pushing me, being like, man, like you can do this. You know what I mean? Like if you want to do it, you can do it, you know, and like, just like having that time determination, you know, and other people, like I said, having confidence in me. You know, like there were times where I was, you know, like my roommate, my rookie year playing when I got called up to Evansville was, we were the Ottawa Senators affiliate, and he was a first round draft pick. This kid was drafted first round, like 29th overall by Atlanta when Atlanta signed the team. You know what I mean? And like, even him, like just hearing him talk to me and stuff like that, like I was like, wow, like, the fact that these guys have confidence in me to be playing like next to them or in the lineup with them when they were like, he was a first round draft pick, or my other teammate had games in the show, like played, I think like 15 games in the show, like to hear them like have my back, you know, like it was great to hear that, you know, to feel like I made it, you know, like even when things were going bad, they'd be like, hey man, like you're fine. You know what I mean? Like the boys got you. And like, it was just great to kind of have that atmosphere around me. So like, I'm glad I can kind of, now with coaching, kind of give it back to these kids, you know, just like you said, like full circle, you know, like coaching 18 U this year, like, listen, our goal is to win a lot of games, but I want to help these kids kind of mature into young men, you know, and be able to take that chance and, you know, tell them like, listen, two of my buddies I played with, growing up, they played double-A hockey growing up too, and they made it to the AHL. You know, like it's not out of reach for you guys. It could happen. You know, I kind of always keep that dream alive. Like it will be a tougher road, a longer road, mm-hmm. absolutely. But at the yep. same time, like it can happen. You know what I mean?
Hell yeah.
Amen. All right. Well, CJ, dude, we really do appreciate you coming on and shooting it with us for almost an hour. Wish you all the best with your coaching endeavors. And hopefully we just have some more young studs from Long Island playing in the show, man. And hopefully you got some of your former players on that path.
I'm hoping so. I think over the next few years, you're going to see a handful from Long Island for sure.
Just send the good ones to the Islanders.
Just give it some time. I was at game six, man. I was at game six this year at the Collie, and walking in there, like the atmosphere
Pulak saved it at the last second.
Yeah. So like the atmosphere of that game was like, you walk in, there was so much tension in the arena. You could feel it.
Oh yeah.
But it was also a mix of excitement, and mm-hmm. everybody would just had a ton of anxiety. Like they should have been handing out Xanax at the door walking in for everyone in there. You just felt it, you know what I mean? But in typical Islander fan fashion, no offense, they were down 2-0 and everybody was motherfucking this team. They suck. We shouldn't be here.
Yep.
Trade this guy, get rid of Barzell, fire Trotz. And then they win the game, and everyone's like, Trotz is the best. Like, you know, it's like losing it. I'm like, man, you guys are hilarious. Like, it's you guys are out of your minds. And then they're throwing beers on the ice.
Sounds like so many of my friends.
Here? I was going to say, that sounds like a Coliseum full of Danny Berlandis.
Yep. Oh, CJ knows Danny Berlandi, damn
it. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's Danny. Honestly, man, it's going to be the first game of the season. Puck's going to drop. We're going to lose a faceoff, and he's just going to go, here we go. Islanders again. That's just it, man. But you know, that's Islanders fans, man. No matter what, like until we somehow win 5 cups in a row, like Islander fans are still like, we're gonna have 3 cups in a row, gonna lose like game 7 of the fourth, you know, game 7 of the Stanley Cup final for that fourth cup, and people are gonna be like, fucking Islanders suck, man. Never gonna see 4 cups again. It's bullshit. But you know what? That generation's eventually gonna die off. And when not Danber. He's we want him alive really long, but the rest of that generation's gonna die off.
I'll tell you what though, the Islanders team, I think they're poised over the next few years to win a cup. I think they're missing one or two pieces, but I really think they are. They play in Trotz's style perfectly. You know, the way mm-hmm. he coaches, he's such a good coach, and like their whole team is bought into it. And I think they could get one or two more guys in there. Like there's one or two missing pieces. And I can see them. I can honestly see them winning a handful of cups in the next 10 years. You know, if they're able to keep it, or like 8 years, whatever, keep it together, you know, yeah. And, you know, and I think the team that's going to be better this year, to be honest with you, is the Rangers. Like I love the moves that they made this year. I think they added so much sandpaper to like their bottom six. They were a team that got pushed around. Like the Rangers had, like the years that the Rangers were unreal when Hank was there, they had a team that was like a regular season team. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
They didn't have a playoff team. You can look at a team and be like, that's a playoff team when you look up and down their roster. Yep. They just always reminded me of a team that was a regular season team. And then when playoffs kick in and it's different, they didn't have that next gear or those guys that could help them grind it out. You know what I mean? And I think the Islanders have that. I really do. I think, you know, like I said, 1-2 pieces, they'll be winning that cup.
Yeah, I was trying to say last episode that the Rangers were dangerous, and Mikey called me a secret Ranger fan. So that's my heart is in the bottom of an ocean somewhere.
No, I mean, listen, I'm a Ducks fan. You know, like I grew up a Ducks fan, not even from the movies. Like I said earlier, Paul Kariya is my favorite player.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm like pretty in between with the Islanders and Rangers, and I really think that like the moves the Rangers made are going to help them. Mm-hmm. I think their problem was they had a lot of college guys, and they had a college coach come in. You know, I think when they came in, they needed a coach like Trotz, who has like been around the show for a while, to kind of show them how to play in the NHL the right way. You know, I think that's what they were missing, and I think now they have that guy in Gerard Gallant, who like gives them some freedom, but also like he keeps them accountable. You know, and I think it's gonna be fun to watch those two teams go after, like, play this year. You know, you got like Cizikas, you know, Martin, you know, like those guys, and then you got like Reeves, and you got Tenardi this year. You know, like you're gonna have some big boys going at it. You know, like you got some old school hockey between them two this year, which could be great. You know, like I still love that as much as the game has changed. Some old school hockey fighting is still part of the game, so I'd love to see it.
Dude, Revo and Ross Johnson squaring off first Islander Ranger game is what I'm salivating about.
I mean, you know, that's probably going to be literally within the first, like the first 15 seconds of puck drop.
Oh, absolutely. Might even like, not make it the Rangers.
I think the Rangers home opener this year is against Washington too, isn't it? Or it's in Washington, their first game.
I haven't studied their schedule, but
I think that's what it was when I read that. So you'll see like Revo and Wilson, they're going to, you know, that would be, you know, he's going to keep that guy accountable. And I love the way Wilson plays. Like, does he cross the line at times? Probably. But he flirts that line like perfectly a lot of the time. And I love the way he plays, you know, like,
listen, you got to remember too, the big E, the big S, the big P, the big N is going to be showing hockey now. So, you know, they're probably talking to the NHLPA. They're like, I know like NBC says, don't get into fights, but like get into fights. That's what we want. So like ESPN is just going to be like trying to get ratings as however they can. But you know what? Kudos, man. The more eyes, the more ears that can get on to the ice, the better. Because the more fans the NHL gets, the better it's going to get. So I'm not going to try to gatekeep the NHL. I realize that it's the counterculture, but at the same time, give me more. Give me more, you know?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. Yeah.
And on that note, let us bid adieu to Chris Joseph, EAEC. Dude, I'm having a problem talking. ECHL extraordinaire.
You couldn't even spell ESPN, so.
No, I spelled E to S to the P to the E. So it's been rough, man. I'm on like, this is like day 8 of like a 9-day work schedule. I've worked like 6 bell to bells, man. I'm just like, I'm ready to go to sleep and never wake up. But not in that way. Just sleep all the time. But hey, CJ, man, thank you so much for being on. Hey, everyone out there, again, Bar Down Breakdown, you can catch us every Tuesday, wherever you like your podcasts, Apple, Google, Stitcher, Spotify, wherever you get them, just subscribe so you get us every Tuesday, which is what you want to do. Go check out our former guest playlist. We've got a sweet pop punk playlist that we're constantly adding things to, so hopefully your next favorite band is on there. And then also, do yourself a favor, the Hockey Podcast Network. I can spell them. THPN, go check them out. They've got a bunch of great content, not just us, but a bunch of other podcasts that you're probably going to end up loving. So go check them out. And then, like we said at the beginning of the episode, DraftKings, guys, football season is coming. This isn't a football podcast, but guess what? You probably love fantasy football just like I do. I'm going to be in another league. I don't really know why, but I'm going to do it anyway. But on certain weeks, man, I'm going to jump on there on DraftKings and I'm going to do some of their daily stuff. It's a blast. And like we said, man, you could turn $1 into $200 just by chilling with DraftKings. That's what we want you to do. Chill with DraftKings. Again, one more time, shout out Pete Judge Records. Got a sandwich on the shirt. Shout out CJ, homie the guest. Shout out Bar Down Breakdown. Shout out Mikey CLT. Shout out Tommy to the V. What else we got?
That's it. Guys, it's been real. Peace be with you.
And also with you.
Have a good one, guys. Thanks again.